I bid you welcome.
Cara mia. We all go a little mad sometimes.
We accept a one of us. We accept a one of us.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Wolfman's got an art.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Home is Where the Horror Is. Thank you for joining our horror family for episode number 5, and this is hosted by Brian.
And Monica.
Babe.
Yeah.
Halloween is over.
It is. It's so sad.
There's something so depressing about pulling down all the decorations and, you know, just we have too many damn totes of Halloween stuff.
We do. Not to mention the stuff that we just still keep up all year long.
Yeah, no, that's true. Part of it's laziness, part of it's because that's what we love. Mm-hmm. But now we're rolling into, you know, two other great holidays. We got Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we kind of decided for the month of November, we're going to have a theme. What's it going to be?
So every movie that we're going to do in November has to have at least one dinner scene.
Yeah. Surprise. I don't know if I should say surprisingly. There are a lot of horror movies with dinner scenes and a lot of great ones.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of tough narrowing down our choices. But I think I started us off with a more subtle and well-rounded movie.
Yeah, I really enjoy this movie.
Yeah. Cuz what you're going to get from me in 2 weeks.
Oh no. No, no.
Is
no.
Not going to be subtle.
Please don't.
But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, so today, since it is my picks, I decided to go with Your Next. And this was released in 2011, directed by Adam Wingard, who also directed The Guest, which I've never seen.
No, I believe that's also another one that might have a dinner scene as well.
I think it may. The new Blair Witch, 2016. That movie Death Note that we watched.
Oh, I liked that one.
And he's going to be directing the upcoming Godzilla vs. Kong. So he's got some very... He clearly doesn't stick to just one type of horror movie. He's all over the place. And then this was written by Simon Barrett. As far as the cast, a lot of people I didn't really know except for maybe the dad because he's the guy from Dumb and Dumber.
Okay. Yeah, I don't recognize anyone.
Outside of that, we have Sharni Vinson, who plays Aaron, the lead. We have AJ Bowen, who plays Crispin, her boyfriend. And I just had to throw this guy in here, Joe Swanberg, who plays Drake.
Oh, God, that asshole.
He's an asshole, but we'll get into it. He adds a different level of humor for being such a dick.
He does.
So... The general plot around this movie revolves around a family who has not seen each other in a while that are reuniting for their parents' 35th wedding anniversary. I believe, what is it, 4 brothers and 1 sister?
Yeah.
Or 3 brothers and 1 sister? No, 4, because we got Crispin, Drake, and then, three brothers, 1 sister. So it's 4 siblings. Each of them has a date. They're all coming to this amazing-looking mansion that their parents, I forget how they said they afforded. I think the dad was like a military contractor.
Yeah.
And then
it was like KGB, ex-KGB or something like that.
But essentially, they're sitting down. They're having their dinner. And like any good family, there's a lot of arguments going back and forth, little jabs being thrown at each other. And out of nowhere, this group is attacked by 3 masked men. And do you know what the masks are they're wearing?
Like where they're from?
No. The actual masks.
Were they wolves?
No. So this is what surprised me. It's a tiger mask, a fox mask, and a lamb mask.
Oh, okay.
So basically, the rest of the movie from that point out is a home invasion, survival flick. And the kind of the dynamics between the family really play out and the tensions between them. And there's just a lot of bickering. It almost is like, I don't want to say it's like Night of the Living Dead when they're boarded up in a house and can't seem to get along with each other, but there's a little bit of that. And this comes out, you know, a couple years after The Strangers and a lot of other home invasion movies. So it was like a little bit past the prime of those films. But here we are with this one. Now, before we go into your post-mortem breakdown, do you have a favorite mask that was worn?
Probably the lamb.
Damn, that's what I was going to say. What's your reason?
It just looked cool.
So for me, I was going to say the wolf, and then I realized it's a fox. So that kind of like was, yeah. Like, oh, I definitely thought that was a wolf mask. I really didn't know the other one was a tiger at all.
No.
I thought it was maybe like a bear. And then the lamb, because it's so unassuming, like the other two are predatory animals either way. Then there's just this lamb, and it's creepy. It's like just, I don't know. And I felt like that got a heavy dose of footage, like a lot of screen time.
Wasn't he the last one to die, too, the lamb?
That's a good question. Tiger died first. The fox was the leader of the group. No, the fox died last.
The fox died last.
Yeah. Okay. So, like you said, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but before we go any further, let's hear your post-mortem breakdown.
So there were a lot of kills in this movie. There was a total of 15 kills.
Yeah.
So, basically everyone dies.
Yeah, we're left with one survivor, Erin, as I said at the beginning.
The final girl.
Yeah, there's always a final girl. See, man? Men, it's not equal. Men always die in these movies.
There was one sex scene in the beginning, which was a little unfulfilling.
It was kind of weird. It was like an older dude. And that guy, I know I've seen him in other stuff.
Yeah.
It's creepy because he's like 40s, maybe 50s a girl.
Looks like she's maybe 20s.
Maybe 20s. If she just happens to be looking good, maybe she's early 30s. I don't know.
But I don't even think she's
there's
that
a big
old.
Age gap regardless.
Yeah. So there was two instances of nudity.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of screams going on. So we just kind of narrowed it down a little bit to like 14 instances of screaming.
Yeah, there's many times where it's just so many people screaming at once that we're like, you know what? That's a good. Let's just lump them all in.
Yeah. No falls. No one really.
Certainly not Erin.
Fell. No. Well, the girl in the woods. Did she fall? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Murphy's Law, we actually did have two instances. One, when their phones weren't working. They couldn't use. And then when the lights went out.
Yep.
The whole house. Now, for this movie, our reoccurring, we used... Did we have a reoccurring? Oh, weapons used. That's what it was. Yeah. So it was very interesting. There's a lot of weapons used in this film. 14 different ones, to be exact. So...
And before you even count those... There's a lot of instances where we could have counted it more, but you just said, in general, like a kitchen knife.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to use, like, okay, well, we used, you know, two kitchen knives. So I want to count that twice. I wanted to do different types of
weapons. Yeah.
And, man, it's quite a list. So we have machete, crossbow, a garrote, or like a piano string, a kitchen knife, an axe, a mallet. Screwdriver, nails, log, pot, pocket knife, a blender, a gun, and an axe booby trap.
Yeah. It's the variety of weapons. I'd be interested going forward when we do watch these movies. I feel like home survival movies generally get more creative with weapons.
Yeah.
And they use everything at their disposal. And like I said, this girl, Erin, she's like this, you've come to find out she's a former survivalist. And she's like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone, like a grown-up version.
Yeah, she actually, her thing was that she grew up in Australia and her family moved to a survivalist colony where they learned to, you know, fight and live off the land and things like that.
Yeah. So, no, this movie definitely boasts some impressive numbers. And like we said, pretty high kill count. But, yeah, from the movie itself, what's something you really loved or hated about the movie?
So I did love, like, going back to the weapons, like, just the amount of weapons, like, how creative they got with it. Like, they did really well with, like, all the different kills that they did.
Yeah, you and I are – that's exactly, like, one of my first things is you have to see the movie to see every kill to understand what we mean. But the creativity with how the weapons are used, it's sure you could just stab somebody, but like the screwdriver, the one guy gets stabbed with like seven different screwdrivers and he just won't die. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of a very like humorous and creative approach to the kills. Yeah. And that's what I really liked about it. Cause they're brutal. There are some really brutal kills. But there's always an element of kind of humor.
Yeah.
I'd say there's like one or two where I was like, ooh, that's not really funny. But the other ones were.
Yeah. And the thing that I just, you know, my least favorite was that asshole Drake. Oh, God. He was so pompous and just such a jerk off.
Oh, well, this is going to piss you off because that's one of the things I love. Ugh. This guy is the ultimate shit talker. And he's that guy we all have in the family. Everyone has that shit talker, that boaster, the one that puts their siblings down or does something and like makes the dinner table a little more tense with his snarky comments.
Yeah.
We all know every family has someone like that. But this guy like adds an element of humor that, you know, he kind of does the right thing. Like he protects his mom when she's about to get shot and he's still trying to help. Even with an arrow in his back. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, he is a dick. And I kind of liked the amount of shit-talking he did.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, so that's the things I loved, me and you said. The only thing I hate it is once the killers started taking off their masks, it took a little bit of the mystique out of it.
Yeah.
Like, you and I always reference back to Strangers. That movie is so creepy because you don't know why they're doing it. You don't know who they are. You don't know they're like anything outside of they just want to kill those people. And never seeing their faces made it that much creepier. Sometimes I'm a fan of I want to see what's under the mask. But usually it's like a franchise movie.
Yeah.
On a one-off like this, I don't want to see your faces. And, you know, the plot reveals the whole reason why they're there and everything, and I get it, but I don't know, man. Once they took off the mask, they weren't really scary anymore.
No.
It wasn't as creepy, and it just kind of started going downhill in terms of plot for me at that point.
Yeah.
So then, what were some of your favorite scenes, or what scenes do you want to talk about? Not necessarily favorite scenes.
I loved how, you know, they're at dinner, everyone's just fighting, and then, you know, everything starts happening, and the one brother, Drake, the shit talker, he gets, an arrow to the back, and they're sitting there, and they're still arguing.
Damn like, it, you stole my scene again! Stop stealing all my stuff! What you're saying is right. That whole scene is set up as they're at the dinner table. And the poor guy who's just been getting ridiculed because he's a director, but for underground films.
He was a documentarian.
He makes documentaries. And he made one. Drake was like, you know what? I really like commercials. And he's like telling him he should do documentary commercials, just like, you know, berating the guy. And this guy is the smart enough one to like be looking out the window, be like, something looks a little off. And friggin' crossbow through the window into his head. And that's when the tonal shift of the movie, like we already know there are killers on the loose. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen them kill some people, but this is where you're like, oh shit, everything's about to pop off.
Yeah.
And yeah, the brother Drake gets the arrow in the back and what's it? It's his brother says, you know, the cell phones aren't working. Well, they could be using a jammer. And he yells at him. He's like, what a scumbag. Like, who knows that? As he's got the arrow in his back, he's bleeding, but he's still like, yeah, he still talks shit.
He still has to.
I love that scene because who's going to, I mean, this character would do that, but I love that. So what else?
And then, like, now, like, you know, we definitely start getting the kills when the girl just smashes the guy's head with the mallet over and over and over again.
You just took my scene again.
Well, I take your t-shirts. I take your socks. Everything.
took my youth. You just, God. No, she, we get an idea that she is very well equipped for a situation. Like, yeah, once shit starts going down, like, she comes up with every plan for them. Like, use chairs to block the crossbow.
Yeah.
Let's board up windows. Let's keep, and like, everyone else is just in pure panic. And she's like, so right away, you're intrigued. You're like, okay, yeah, what's the deal?
She's very calm and collected.
Yeah. The killer comes in and she swings him out, hits him in the back of the head. She hits him like one or two more times and you say, okay, like, most horror movies are going to walk away. No. She made sure that he was dead.
She does. She wails on him.
And it's great because Z and the other brother are just sitting there watching her. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And she's like, yeah, thanks for your help. He's like, no, it looks like you had it.
Yeah.
like, yeah, I mean, it would be crazy to see that, especially coming from a girl like her. Like, it's just so unassuming.
It is, yeah.
So it's surprising.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and take my last scene? I don't even know what your next one's going to be.
I have two more.
Okay.
Actually, I'll add another one in there because it's also good. So we do find out eventually that it's the son and his girlfriend Z that are actually the killers. And then they kill their father. Like, and then what's his name? The son.
You took my
again.
God.
Again.
Damn scene. Again.
And it's like he's sitting there, and like you can tell, like he's a little, you know, he's a little saddened by it and everything, you know, because he's like, oh, did you have to do it right in front of me?
Yeah, his name was Felix.
Felix.
That kill was the kill I meant earlier when I said that's the only one that to me really wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Like, it was actually really sad. Like, all the other kills are over the top. No, the dad is like putting the pieces together because his wife just died.
Yeah.
And his family's getting picked off. And he's realizing, hey, these guys have been in the house. This isn't random. They're after us. So somebody here has leaked this.
Yeah, because they find the closet. They open up the closet and they find the blankets and pee and snacks and stuff like that.
And it's just like, you know, so the dad's already kind of saying to Felix, like, hey, maybe your girlfriend, like, I think he's insinuating or somebody we don't know. And the guy comes up from behind, slits his throat, very gory, and the dad's just writhing in pain, and, you know, he just dies.
Yeah.
It's after, when Felix was like, did you really have to do that right in front of me?
Yeah, and then you know for sure it was them. And, you know, the girlfriend, Z, was kind of off from the beginning.
Oh, was she off?
Just a little bit.
Was she off because then she tried to bang Felix right on top of his dead mother?
Well, that was actually my next scene I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this chick, when you see her, they have her made up to look like, I don't know if goth is the right word, but all dark clothing. She's wearing like necklaces and stuff that makes you think like, is she into the occult? Like, you don't know what's going on with her, but she's very tropish. Like, she fits that mold of like, oh, the outsider girl. Mm-hmm. So right away, you're kind of like, she's just a weirdo. But then when you know him and her together, you kind of get the feeling like, was this her idea?
Yeah.
And she's just loving everyone getting killed. And the guy is sitting on the bed with her, and the dead mother's right there, machete in the head. And she just is like, starts trying to bang him. And he's like, can we not?
She's like, let's have sex on your dead mother.
Yeah. And he's like, I can't believe you just said that to me. And she's like, oh, you never want to do anything interesting.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think that's a little unfair assessment given the situation. Like, every one of his family members is being brutally murdered. And this girl still is not pleased.
No.
Like, that is a crazy bitch, which made me think, it really was her that drove him to do this, because the brilliant idea here is that he's going to get an inheritance from his family's wealth and they'll be able to do whatever they want.
And I guess the last one I'll talk about It's one of the best scenes of the whole thing is the blender to the head.
Do not, because that's going to, we'll cover that later.
Oh, okay.
I guess the only other scene we'll talk about is the boyfriend of Aaron is clearly like the biggest pussy of the group.
He is.
He's
for sure.
He's apparently was her teacher. You get the idea, like, I don't know if he was liberal arts or whatever he was, but he's very, like, pacifist.
Yeah.
And when all this shit's going down, he goes, okay, I'm going to go, like, try and get the car started. And you see a scene where he looks at the car, it doesn't start. Then we don't see him the rest of the movie, so we don't know what's happening. After Aaron dispatches everyone in the house, Felix's phone rings, she picks it up. And it's him. And it's revealed, like, he basically reveals that he was in on it. So him and Felix were going to split this inheritance.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll give the guy credit. He tries to smooth talk her by, like,
he does.
Well, let's look at the situation. Like, you're going to get a lot of money. Like, you weren't supposed to get hurt. So good for you for surviving.
I love the, hey, we can go on a trip and maybe get engaged.
Like, yeah. Like, the balls on this guy, like, and he's walking towards her. She's drenched in blood. Like, you know, we all know what's going to happen. Yeah. There's not even, like, a doubt in my mind. Like, her stare never changes.
So she was supposed, according to him, she was supposed to be, like, the outside, you know what I mean? To, like, the witness, like, that all this stuff went down. Like, she has no record. Like, she's an unknown. And he was like, well, who were we to know that you were such a badass?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of, it's the ultimate victim blaming. He's like, well, it's kind of your fault you survived so well and killed all the bad guys.
Yeah, he's like, who would have thought you were so good at killing?
Yeah. Oh, and then he goes, which is weird, by the way. Yeah. So it's just, that scene is a perfect encapsulation of the humor of this movie.
Yeah.
It's not completely upfront. It's a little dry. It's a little dark. But, and then she just kills him flat out. It's just, man, I think we should just get into the favorite and worst kill, or best and worst kill of the movies. Since you started it already, my favorite kill for sure was, you know, the brother, she's fighting him and Z at the end, and she's in the kitchen and she's just hitting from one to the other. And then finally she takes a blender, smashes it over his head. You think that's enough.
Yeah.
She puts a blender on top of his head and I guess gets the metal part just deep enough and plugs it in, turns it on, and boom, brain friggin' protein shake.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. I don't know if it could work. I know some old school blenders didn't have locking mechanisms, but I loved it because it goes to what we've been saying. This movie's creative as shit with its kills.
It is, yeah. Yeah. And that, like I said, that was one of my favorite kills. And also just the mallet, just when she was just wailing on him. That was pretty awesome.
As a runner-up for me, because there are so many great ones that we are leaving out, I gotta mention the Garrett.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The piano wire, like, so they frame it very well. Like, when everything's happening, the only daughter of these parents, you know, they're trying to figure out who's fast enough to go running. She tells her time, what was it, 3 miles and 24 minutes or something.
Well, I love the brother with the arrow in his back. I'll do it. Let me get up. I'll do it.
He's like, you can't do it. He's like, he's got a fucking arrow in his back. the sister, she's like clearly the most loved child because the mother and father go nuts when they see her. She's getting her shoes off. She's getting ready. She posts up. But all of a sudden, everything slowed down. They open up the door. You're like, what's going to happen? Yeah. I expected a guy to be standing there and do something, but she runs neck first into that piano wire, which is stringed across, and it's really brutal.
Yeah.
Just like when the dad died. That's the second kill I was talking about where I felt like, ooh, this one is really brutal. But that's my runner-up.
Yeah.
Did you have a least favorite kill?
I did. Just the first one of the movie. It's just, there wasn't really much to it.
The guy in the shower or the girl?
The girl.
Well, the girl you don't really see at all.
Yeah, you don't see anything. Yeah. So you see, like, her, she hears something, and she's, like, in the room. She puts the music on, and then she looks, like, out the window, and you see the reflection of the guy behind her.
Yeah.
And she jumps, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, off-screen kills always,
yeah,
always are a little boring.
Considering everything else that you saw on screen.
So for me, my least favorite is the Fox Mask, the leader of the killers. Like, it's a very cat and mouse once they realize this chick is not to be messed with, but they got to deal with her. She's been so creative even up to this point that you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what she's got in store for him. And she's in the basement. She's knocked out all the lights, and she's got the camera set up. So it's going off, and he's walking towards a flashing light, and she basically just kills him with a log.
With a log, yeah.
So you don't get to see it very much other than the intermittent flashes of the camera. So it's not well lit for you to see it. But, like, I wanted that kill to be so satisfying because this is the leader. This is the guy, which we, you know, we do know he's not really the leader. It really is a brother who gets a blender. But that one, like, I kind of just wish you could have savored it a little more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, before we get to our grades, I do have a few little fun facts for us. There's not many with this movie. There was nothing really that big. But Simon Barrett, who I said was the writer of the movie, he was the Tiger Mask killer, the first killer that gets killed with the mallet. So, yeah, that's a little interesting way to get in the movie. Because we never, other than when, after he gets brained and they take off the mask, we never actually see him. All the masks in the film were inspired by a video game called Hotline Miami. I know you know nothing about that.
I know nothing.
But it's actually a really fun game, and it is interesting that I do love seeing movies being inspired by video games. Yeah. So, with all that, what are you scoring this one?
I'm going to give this an A+. I really like this movie.
Woo! A+.
Yeah. I love the creativity and all the weapons and everything like that, and the little twist at the end. I really liked it.
Okay. I'm giving it a B+. And reason being, it's not the best of the home invasion movies. And it did have its downfalls. But it's really fun and unexpected. Yeah. Like, I was leaning to an A-, but I think a B+, just because once you... This is yet another one. When you know the twist, going back and watching it, you're going to kind of be like, okay, now I just get to sit back and enjoy the kills again. So, really, really fun movie. I think it's easy to say we both really recommend it. So, see? Now I set the bar high. You better have a good pick for next week.
I do have a good one. All right. So, now that we're done our movie, what is your myth going to be this week?
You know, I really tried to find a myth that could somehow tie to either a fox, a lamb, or a tiger. And there are myths out there, but they all seem kind of boring to me. So I just went completely off the reservation. I just said, let me pick one that looks interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think I got one you're going to like. So this one is called the Man on Angle. I'm going to say it one more time because it's Filipino and I know I'm butchering it. The Man on Angle.
Man on Angle.
Yeah. So this is a Filipino myth of a vampiric-like creature that separates from the lower half of its body in order to fly around at night, attacking sleeping women in the hopes of digesting their babies and their babies' hearts.
Hmm. So it's just like a torso flying around?
Yes.
Like, torso and head? So that's like leaves its legs?
Yeah, we will get into the specifics of it, but essentially, yes. Huh. So think a vampire... like creature, so it's got fangs, it's got bat wings, but imagine seeing it flying around and you see like the intestines hanging as it flies. Pretty damn creepy. So this is one of the many aswang in the Philippines, which can actually mean a demon, a ghoul, or a witch. So it's a common term for a couple different myths from the Philippines.
We talked about this, how on Grimm they had an aswang on there, but theirs was like a specific type of demon or monster.
And what's even more fascinating is the aswang have subspecies, if you will. So yeah, Grimm covered one of the more specific ones, just like this is probably the most popular of these Aswang. So the name Manananggal comes from the Filipino word to remove or to separate, hence the separation of the torso and the upper body. This monster can actually be traced back as far as 1582 and even earlier, and that's written down in Spanish texts because I know you're not very good with history, but the Spanish colonized the Philippines in the 1500s.
I actually do know that.
Oh, you do know?
Okay. I do know that because of Joe Coy. That's why a lot of Filipino people have Spanish last names.
I hate that that's your reference. And that is your education right there. Joe Coy has educated you on Filipino culture. All right. So then, good. You know the Spanish influence on the Philippines. So this monster, you know, the assumption is this monster had been around previously then, before the Spanish colonizers, from oral traditions. And this was always linked to women who had complications with birth or a miscarriage, that this monster caused it.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the things. But after the Spanish colonized, their writings and accounts of this monster really increased. So the surge of this belief is kind of, it's debated, but the real belief is that all of it was sparked that, you know, Spanish brought Catholicism to the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And before then, women had a very high role in society as shaman, medicine healers, midwives. They were history keepers for everyone. They had a big say in what went on in the society. And when the Spanish came there with Catholicism, all their roles were kind of demoted. And so a lot of these people were especially practicing some of those things. They weren't allowed to do that anymore. And previously, it was very much allowed to just have sex outside of marriage. If you were a woman and you got divorced, it was fine for you to remarry. That all changed with the colonization, and it was looked, and sexuality in general was very looked down upon. Mm-hmm. So it was very just, you know, puritanical. And this creature, you know, part of the idea of why it separates from its lower torso is the woman separating from her sexual organs from below.
Gotcha.
Because most of the time, I'd say, let's say 98% of the time, the Manananggal is actually a beautiful woman. Because during the day, she can look like any beautiful woman you know. She can hold a family. She can hold a whole nother life. But at night is when she begins to transform.
So it's like an actual person that mm-hmm. becomes a monster at night.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So she'll grow her fangs. Her arms will actually convert into wings. And then she'll separate from her lower half, as we've said. Now, what's interesting is that the way they typically reach their victims while they're asleep is with a long tube-like tongue that can go in any orifice that's open. So your nose, your ears, your mouth, they say your abdomen. I think it actually, they suggest it can go through your belly button.
Belly button. Or your butt.
I guess you could. But they didn't elaborate on that one.
Does it go up the butt?
Now here's something you're not gonna like. So yes, this thing definitely eats livers, lungs, intestines, hearts. It doesn't always eat them whole, but it causes them to it sucks an essence out of it or parts of it. Mm-hmm. So when people start getting sick from things, they assume they've been attacked. But it also really enjoys eating phlegm of sick people. So imagine that sucking through a straw, especially the green viscous.
Stop. I can deal with blood, intestines, fecal matter, urine, everything. But it's something about just
phlegm and boogies, yeah.
I think it has to do my days like working up in like the ICU and doing portables and things like that. And when we used to have to get the patients suctioned, it's basically they would go through their trach tube, and it's a big long suction tube that actually goes down into their lungs, yeah. And they hit the button, and you hear.
That's exactly what it would be doing.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Some would say the design of that was based on
it's disgusting.
So But the favorite and the most coveted that this thing would always go after were pregnant women, and it would go after the fetuses within gotcha. Them.
You ever notice it's always the women that are at fault, never the men?
I mean, it's not, well, the woman is the monster in this case, but they're also the victim.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's, you know, women have sex outside of marriage. It's the woman's fault. That's why she's being attacked. It's never the man.
Well, babe, isn't it her body, her choice?
Really? So, well, her body is a wonderland.
But yeah, so here's the really weird way this someone could become this monster. I don't know if you're going to be ready for this. So you have to eat a baby black chicken that was produced from the throat of another Manangal.
A what?
Manangal.
A chicken?
I'm sorry, Manangal. I keep shortening it. Yeah, a baby black chicken. It's very specific.
Very confused.
So this is where it gets interesting. So to stop the new monster from transforming, so if you did eat that and you were about to transform, one of the ways they would do that is you got to remove the chicken from her stomach. The most common way to get rid of this chicken from her stomach was achieved by hanging a woman upside down and beating her in the stomach until she puked out the baby chicken.
Where did the chicken come from? Where does a chicken...
So,
what does this have to do with anything?
So, there is a cultural reference here.
Okay.
And this ties into kind of a taboo thing, but have you ever heard of balut?
I have not.
So there, especially from the Philippines, it is a very common practice to boil a fertilized duck or chicken egg and then to eat the insides.
Ew.
So it's the full...
Is this like a delicacy kind of
yes.
thing?
Yes. So literally, so it's the amniotic sac, the chicken's full grown, but they eat the stuff outside of it. Now, many people have looked at it as taboo because they say it's like being a Manangal, and... They think that practice was developed from that. The only other way to stop this monster is that once she removes the lower half of her body, she's always going to attempt to hide her bottom half.
Gotcha.
And her most common place to hide it is among banana trees, because when they stand up, they almost look like legs. So it would be camouflage gotcha. To a degree. But if you did find her legs, if you sprinkled ashes, vinegar, spices, garlic, or salt on her lower body, she would not be able to reattach. And she has to reattach by morning or she dies.
She dies.
So it was very important for her to kind of hide that. Now going back to the balut, there's a belief that the reason why it's so commonly sprinkled with those same ingredients I just mentioned is to kind of ward off any bad taboo of eating that, because there's a belief that, like, that you're kind of engaging in this unsavory behavior.
Gotcha.
So they believe if you kind of use this other stuff, it wards off any evil.
Huh.
Eating this thing could do. But not only with balut was this a potential impact to the Filipino culture, they believe that the architecture from the time started getting influenced, because they started making all their roofs very steeply pitched and much higher to kind of avoid allowing things to fly in, or they did not allow any perches or balconies on their windows, especially near their bedrooms.
Huh.
So this thing actually had like a little bit of impact.
Yeah.
I almost equate it to everyone getting caller ID after Scream.
Yeah.
You know, like, or people being freaked out at the beaches by Jaws.
Yeah.
So it's not, it seems weird, but I can kind of buy into it that a lot of decisions were made based on fear.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is, it's a practice that's still used a lot today, is that infant child or even a kid up to a certain age will always sleep in between the parents in the center of the bed. And it's in the hopes to avoid allowing it being attacked by the monster.
Gotcha.
So this is, like I said, probably the most well-known myth and monster from the Philippines.
Hmm.
And it was actually the main feature for the first Filipino horror film from 1927. Now that film's lost, and it actually is called Manananggal. But since then, it has been featured in a lot of Filipino-directed movies and throughout a lot of other popular culture, but honestly, it was nothing that I had ever heard of or seen.
Never heard of it.
And of course, I always go to the well with us for Supernatural, and the only connection there is there's a whole novel series that's a tie-in to the actual show, and in the novel, they have the brothers fighting the Mononongle.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so that is my myth. What'd you think?
That's interesting.
So what questions do you have?
I mean, first off, do they have to eat everything? Why do you have to eat a boiled fetus chicken?
I mean, I guess there's a certain point if you're not able to trade with outside cultures and influences, Philippines Island is not very big. Mm-hmm. So there comes a point, I guess, when what else are you going to do than use everything?
How about you just let the chicken grow to an actual chicken then eat the chicken?
I don't understand that. And it is something, like I said, that is still done today.
Yeah.
It's looked at a delicacy, but there's something about when they crack open the egg and you still see the fetus. And you're supposed to, like, I think in some cases they use a straw to suck out.
Oh, no. Just stop. I've heard enough.
And then when there's phlegm in there.
Oh.
I did forget to mention the other way, and this is where it seems a little too straightforward, to kill hold this thing is with a sharp bamboo stick through its back.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that's kind of the atypical, kind of the equivalent of a wooden stake in the heart of a vampire.
But, do you like spear it in the vagina?
Well, it doesn't have one because it's flying around without a lower torso.
No, you got the legs. You got the legs hiding with the bananas.
No, you
got
to get it in the back.
Oh, of the upper portion.
Yeah. So I just, I looked at a lot of different myths and I said, this one seems way out there and very interesting.
Yeah.
Goddamn terrifying, too.
Yeah. All right. So to close out this week, where did you decide to go with for your spooky or haunted place?
I didn't mean to tie this to the movie, but it kind of works. A little bit of a stretch, but hear me out. Most towns and cities in the U.S., and I'm sure abroad, all have that road that's said to be haunted.
Yeah.
Like, we know of a couple in PA, in Jersey, there's a couple famous ones. But I think, like, everywhere probably has that road that something happened. This particular one, called the Seven Sisters Road, is in Nebraska. And it is the most famous haunted road in the state.
Huh.
So this road, which just sits a few miles south of Nebraska City, is referred to L Street on all maps. So it's not actually labeled Seven Sisters Road.
Okay.
And for the longest time, they refused to actually even give it a name. So it was just this kind of unmarked section of road. But now they've named it L Street. And according to legend, in the early 1900s, a young man was living with his parents and his seven sisters. After a real heated argument while they were having dinner, the young man left the house, but he didn't go too far. He just stayed in the woods right next to the house. Once his parents left, he was still enraged, went back inside the house, finding his sisters home alone. He led them out one by one to separate trees and hung each of them until they're dead, along seven very specific trees that were all in a perfect line.
Huh.
So that is, first of all, the most common accepted myth of how this road got haunted.
Well, that would make sense with Seven Sisters Road.
Yes.
Seven sisters that were hung.
Now, there is a different variant to the story. It's a little less known, so I just figured I'll throw them both in there. But the second version is a little bit darker. And this time, the man was angry because after the Missouri River overflowed and flooded a good portion of his land, the government pressured him into allowing steamboats to pass through his property. His seven sisters didn't want to allow the boats to come through. So this is what really drove him to have the argument in the first place and what had them really, like, going back and forth at each other. So he actually poisoned them at that dinner that night, and then dragged the bodies one by one and strung them up on the hill, which is where these trees were, for the entire town to see what he's done.
Gotcha.
And one of the sisters was 7 months pregnant.
Hmm.
And when she was murdered, her brother cut open her stomach so the fetus fell from her body.
Yikes.
Like I said, a little darker this time.
It is, yeah.
Either case, it's that same general idea. You had this farmer, this guy, who just wanted to, who killed his sisters and after an argument. And I equated this to the movie because, as we saw, things can get heated with your family.
Yes.
And I guess turning to murder for whatever personal gains is a thing people can and are willing to do.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, many, many years later, after this incident happened, the town decided to build a road right through this hill, and they had to chop down 7 particular trees that were in a perfect row to allow for the road to pass through.
Hmm.
So the road went right over these 7 specific trees, and to this day, it is very, very common for people to hear screams all throughout the night at multiple, I guess, reports of cars having their lights dim as they drive past this particular area, or that cars just stall out altogether. And there's always a particular sound of bells ringing behind a nearby cemetery as you drive past this road.
Mm.
Sometimes they say it's 7 bells. And then the weirdest one is there's also been multiple reports of red-eyed monsters that stare at the people from the hills nearby as you drive through. So this is a very well-documented, well-recorded. A few people that I've been reading up on who have actually decided to go out there actually report either A, like very odd occurrences of like almost Final Destination-ish.
Yeah.
Like when they got on the road, like the one guy, the Van Morrison song, "This is the End," like came on right as he started driving, or like there was some, or they did have car issues.
Yeah.
And that they did hear odd noises as they were driving.
Yeah.
So, you know, they themselves said, is it me feeding into this? Who knows? But like I said, it's one of the more well-documented, spookier, haunted highways.
Yeah.
And given that history, it makes sense why.
Is there any reports of anyone being like any of these passerbys being harmed in any type of way? Or it's just all eerie, spooky occurrences?
So far, other than car trouble, it doesn't seem to have indicated anyone like driving on that road and dying. But like I said, it still gets reports of just random spooky occurrences.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those things. So, like I said, you and I know of roads in PA and Jersey and nearby. But if this was something like a mile away, do you think you'd want to go drive down it?
I mean, I think we'd have to try at some point.
But you and I talked about this. With all the places we've, you know, gone over, is there a bad juju that gets attached to you if you go down a road like that? Well, I mean, that's always my concern. Like, if it's a place that, like, if it's a place that's haunted and you go and you just see and you're like, oh, that's spooky. But if you go through something and the bad luck or whatever could attach to you, that's what I worry about.
I mean, we'll just light up some sage in the car.
I don't need a grudge-like situation on my hands. So, I don't know. Yeah, I always thought about that. Knowing you and me, yes, of course, we would probably do it or see it or have to see it. But, yeah, I mean, it's a very popular road now. I'm sure, like, it didn't say, but they say a lot of times they get tourists coming and wanting to look for this section of road. So, yeah, man, that's a very creepy way to have a road named and to have a history on just a simple road. So, yeah, there was my connection.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, before we part, I just want to say this Thanksgiving coming up, you might have tensions that are pretty high with your family. Don't kill them.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just leave the room, drink a little more. Don't go. Don't create another Seven Sisters road or, you know, a Your Next situation. Just handle it more eloquently, I'll say. So with that, be sure to tune in next week. It's Monica's Picks. And remember, we're going to be having a movie that features some kind of dinner scene. So
There's definitely an eating scene. So a very interesting eating scene. Yeah. So pretty excited.
So with that, we want to thank you for joining our horror family for this episode. But please, if you haven't already, make sure you hit subscribe. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and soon we'll be available on YouTube. No matter where you listen to us, if you can give us some feedback, preferably a 5-star rating, and if you want to bash us in the comments, that's fine. But we're also available on Instagram and Facebook. So have a good night.
And until next time.